Father, we turn to you now with the privilege of opening your word, of proclaiming your truth. And I ask, Lord, that as I speak today, that it'll be your very words and not my assumptions or preconceived ideas. None of my prejudices come through what's spoken today, Lord, but it'll truly be your written word made alive. Cause us to be people that trust you, even when we're not sure we understand what you're teaching us, God. Give us wisdom and understanding as we study to show ourselves approved unto you. Workers that don't need to be ashamed, Lord. Workers that divide your scripture, that accurately assess your word. Forgive us, Father, anytime we bring our own desires and wishes into your word and try to twist meaning to cause your word to mean something other than what it says. Thank you, Jesus, that we have so much written revelation and that we had you as an example of what God is and what God looks like, made flesh and dwelling among us. Thank you that there's hope for a future. I pray that as we listen today and look at a number of passages in your word, Lord, that our hearts will be tilled, that the soil of our hearts will be ready to produce much fruit. In your holy name, Jesus, amen. I think we still got this working. Is it on? Too many. There we go. Doctrine and practice as witness. I know that this particular passage that I'm covering today, 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verses 1 and 2, has confused a lot of people. Oftentimes when we look into Scripture, we see in it things we may not want to see. And for that purpose, I'm bringing a couple verses to you. 2 Timothy 2:15. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the word of truth. And then another verse from Acts, where Paul was telling the elders at the church at Ephesus goodbye. He's not going to see them again for a while, or maybe possibly ever. And he reminded them, "For I did not shrink from declaring to you the whole counsel of God." One of the reasons that I prefer to teach through an entire book is because I know my own heart. I know my own prejudices. I believe that if I just tried to go through Scripture and pick my favorite verses and teach those each week, that you would get a really good view of Tony's doctrine. And that's not what I want to bring to you. I want to bring Holy Scripture, God's doctrine. And so I get into a book and I try to cover the entirety of the book. When we're finished with 1 Timothy, we're going to hopefully have an opportunity to go through the book of Genesis together. I love both Old and New Testament. Jesus Christ is preached from the beginning to the end. He's in all of Scripture. He says himself that the law and the prophets are written about him. And if we try to say that, well, we like one part of Scripture but not another, we're saying we don't love Jesus. We don't love his word. We don't love his revelation to us. So one of the reasons that I go through an entire book rather than just my favorite passages is because I get conviction as I study through sections that I may not have wanted to spend much time in. You have to spend more time when you're presenting something. And it's good for me to get the whole counsel of God, to get the entirety of his word. Now sometimes people can preach a verse or two and take it so far out of context that it's also not the whole counsel of God. And that's one reason I bring in other supporting texts, other supporting scriptures, and try to make sure that we're looking at what all of Scripture says. And I also challenge you that as good Bereans, If you know what that means, you're a scripture studier. Look into the Word and see if what I'm saying is truth or not. And if you find something that I'm speaking is not complete truth or is in error in any way, please bring that to my attention. And we can go to God's Word and we can find out, what is He trying to teach us? We don't ever want to think that just because somebody's standing behind a pulpit, they have absolute truth. God has revealed Himself through His Word, through creation, through the life of Jesus Christ, through our consciences. There's a number of ways that God's revealed Himself to us, and I can learn from all of you. Iron sharpening iron. So let's not think this is a one-way conversation. Our God's a good God. And I am so grateful that He put this passage in 1 Timothy that I probably would have never put there. 1 Timothy 6, 1 and 2. If you've got Bibles, please turn there. And if you don't have a Bible, there's pew Bibles you can look at, or you can just look up on the wall. And the most of the passages I'm going to cover today will be there as well. All who are under the yoke of slavery should consider their masters worthy of full respect, of all honor, in another translation, so that God's name and our teaching or His doctrine may not be slandered, may not be blasphemed. Those who have believing masters are not to show less respect for them because they are brothers. Instead, they are to serve them even better. I don't know how you can get even better than full respect, full honor, but there's a way. Because those who benefit from their service are believers and dear to them. These are the things you are to teach and urge on them. So Paul is telling Timothy, here's some instruction about slaves. My heart hurts when I first look at this. It's like, what are we talking about? Slavery is bad. We know what America has done with slavery. We know what happened in the United Kingdom with slavery. We know about all of the ships that went to Africa and even African nation against African nation were kidnapping one another and selling the human beings into servitude. And there's been a lot of abuses.
They still are.
And there still are. There's still human trafficking going on. There's a lot happening in this world that clearly is wrong. And when I read a passage like this, it's like, wait a minute, this is something that has turned a lot of people against God and against Scripture. It's like, oh, the Bible's for slavery. It's not. But this is part of the full counsel of God. Slavery existed. Back in the first century, the Roman Empire, at least a third and possibly up to half of the population were slaves. It was such a huge part of their economy that I don't think anybody at that time could have conceived a world without slavery. There's nowhere in Scripture that condones or condemns outright slavery. So even though I don't like that, my personal response would be, boy, we should change Scripture. It's like, no, I can't do that. God is good and He knows what He's doing here. Too often we push aside a word because we don't want to hear it. But we also sometimes twist it so it means something different. People can say, well, then Scripture's saying that slavery is a good thing, because here's Paul talking to Timothy about slaves and what they should do and how they should act. I don't read in here if Paul says slavery is a good thing and you should, you know, you understand. So then I've had some commentaries, read some commentaries, heard some preachers talk about this as if, well, maybe we should just switch this to employer-employee relationships. And there is something to that, because if half the population were slaves, sounds more like employment, right? And in fact, many of the slaves were better off as slaves than they would have been as day laborers. A day laborer did not get the same covering as far as health care and food and clothing and housing that a day laborer might have gotten. And I think we all know people that work hard and still can't make ends meet. So there were many people that would take themselves and sell themselves into slavery, or maybe they have a debt and they can't pay that debt off. And I know in America we have a way to deal with that. We'd call it bankruptcy or shirking. But there was a responsibility to pay debts. If you had a debt, you paid it. And so they many times would go to someone that they could trust and say, I will serve you for X number of years to cover this debt. And then right up front, the debt would be paid by the person that was going to accept their service. If someone says that and then they don't follow through on their responsibilities, and they're a believer, they're a Christian, what kind of a witness is that? Not only to the person that they've sold themselves to, but everyone else around them that sees that. So there's some wise counsel in Scripture about how slaves should act. Paul doesn't say here anything about how they became slaves or anything else. And oddly, in 1 Timothy, he doesn't talk to the masters. Oftentimes, when he gives instructions to slaves, he immediately will follow it up with some instructions to the masters. But here he doesn't. Now, before you start thinking, wow, this whole thing about slavery, what does this have to do with me? I'm going to forget about it and turn it off. There's a concept of service. Every one of us can learn from that principle. There's the question of why should a slave who's under the yoke of slavery consider their masters worthy? Why should they work hard for somebody? Well, the reasons are given here. It's for the glory of God. It's so that God's name and God's doctrine, God's teaching won't be blasphemed. So it's kind of important. But as far as slave trading and human trafficking, they are clearly condemned in Scripture. Okay? There are aspects of slavery that Scripture absolutely positively says don't do it, and then along with abuse. So Exodus 21:16, anyone who kidnaps someone is to be put to death, whether the victim has been sold or is still in the kidnapper's possession. That's pretty clear. A lot of things, maybe if we followed Scripture, the world would be better off. 1 Timothy 1:10 also lists kidnappers. When Paul went through a list of individuals that are clearly lawbreakers and rebels, he included kidnappers or slave traders in some translations. Other translations use the term men stealers. It's both in Old and New Testament. You don't take somebody and sell them. It's not appropriate. In Exodus 21, again, and a few verses beyond where we were, when a man strikes, verses 26, 27, when a man strikes the eye of his slave, male or female, and destroys it, he shall let the slave go free because of his eye. If he knocks out the tooth of his slave, male or female, he shall let the slave go free because of his tooth. You're not supposed to abuse your slaves. If there is such a thing as slavery, it doesn't give you license to do whatever you want. There still were laws that protected those that were needy, like all of Scripture does. Deuteronomy 23:15-16. If a slave has taken refuge with you, do not hand them over to their master. That's kind of interesting, isn't it? You're going to pick sides? Don't pick the side of the one that's powerful and possibly brutal. Why did this slave leave? Why is he seeking refuge? Don't hand them over to their master. Let them live among you wherever they like and in whatever town they choose. Do not oppress them. So it's clear in Scripture that you're not to traffic in humans or to abuse those that are slaves. Well, we have a lot of ideas about slavery, don't we? And each of us could go to the Scripture and we could push our ideas into it and try to force Scripture to mean what we want it to mean. There's quite a bit written about slavery, believe it or not. In 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 20 through 24, it's kind of a sandwich if you look at the first verse and the last verse there. Each person should remain in the situation they were in when God called them, and then down towards the end there. Brothers and sisters, each person as responsible to God should remain in the situation they were in when God called them. There's something about Christianity where we're supposed to say, God is enough. We're content. Whatever else happens, I'm content. Now, this was Paul writing to the church in Corinth, and he says, were you a slave when you were called? When you received Christ, were you a slave? Don't let it trouble you. Although, if you can gain your freedom, do so. It's like, that makes perfect sense, right? If you can get your freedom, get your freedom. For the one who is a slave when called to faith in the Lord is the Lord's freed person. Do you know that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom? We are free in Jesus Christ if we just know Him. A lot of times the slavery is in our own head. If we are serving voluntarily, it's a real different feeling than if we're serving begrudgingly. And that will go for anybody. This is not just for slaves, but for every one of us. Similarly, the one who is free when called is Christ's slave. Do you know that if you think you're free, you're still not your own person? Guess what? We've been bought with a price. You were bought at a price. Do not become slaves of human beings. Brothers and sisters, each person as responsible to God should remain in the situation they were in when God called them. Now, the Christian church kind of blew a lot of this stuff wide open. When Paul talked to the church in Galatia, that Galatians 3:28 says, there's neither Jew nor Gentile. There's neither slave nor free. There's neither male or female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. You think about this now. Timothy's in Ephesus, and half the population, up to half the population, is in the condition of slavery. It's a pretty solid chance that there are some slaves in his church. There are probably also some masters, some slave owners. And Paul's giving some instruction so that God's name will be glorified, so that the proper witness of the doctrine, the teaching of God, will be lived out. We don't just get doctrine so we can fill our heads and say, I've got all the right answers. Who wants an argument about doctrine? I do know pastors like that. I'll tell you, they're no fun to hang out with. I also know pastors that have dedicated and devoted their entire lives to Jesus Christ, and their hearts are there with Jesus trying to help. And they will do anything to live the gospel. They're fun to hang out with. So you come into a church and there's some slaves and there's some masters. And what if one of the slaves is an elder in that church? Is he going to start looking down at his master and thinking, I'm better than you, or we're at least equal in Christ? Because Paul said there's neither slave nor free. So what's the witness when you come into the church and you start treating each other differently, and then you go back to work and it's like, you know, I'm your elder. I don't have to really listen to you. In fact, I'll do what I feel like doing, and you should just be thankful for it. Some of us go to work like that. Treat our bosses like, whatever we do, you should be grateful. Why don't you thank me more often? Okay, you can see that there could be some problems, and yet there needs to be order. So going back to 1 Timothy 6, 1 and 2. All who are under the yoke of slavery should consider their masters worthy of full respect, of all honor. Does that mean their masters are truly worthy of full respect? Whether they are or aren't, the responsibility of someone under the yoke of slavery is to consider his master to be worthy of all honor, so that God's name and our doctrine, our teaching, may not be slandered. Those who have believing masters, so whether your master is believer or unbeliever, you're still to give them full honor. And in fact, if they're a believer, you even do it more for them. Now, that doesn't make a bit of sense if we think in human terms. I'm equal to you. Why do I have to listen to you? And yet, in godly terms, who is the slave actually serving? Father God. Who is the master serving? A believing master should also be serving Father God. If that's the case, it's certainly going to work out well to follow these instructions. Slave trading is still wrong. Abusing slaves is wrong. Turning a slave back over to a master that he has left, that's wrong. Getting free from slavery is a good thing if you have that option. But if you find yourself in slavery, if you find yourself under the yoke, honor and respect your master. Glorify God's name in teaching with proper service. And in whatever state you're in, be content. Demonstrate God's attitude. So if we demonstrate a godly attitude through our actions, God will be glorified. Allow your doctrine and practice to be a witness for God. It's too easy for us to think only of ourselves and want to have our own rights. If Paul had taught slave rebellion here, what would that have said for the name of Jesus Christ? And yet many of us think that if our rights are being violated, our first duty is going to have to be to jump up and down and get a sign and get a whole bunch of friends to agree with us. It's hard to live for Jesus Christ. It's hard to suffer for Him when we've done no wrong. Now, I'm not saying anybody should accept abuse. That's a whole nother story. But and first of all, the church oftentimes doesn't step in quick enough when there's abuse. Too often we tell the victim, yeah, you're going to get blessed in heaven if you just live through this. And we forget to go to the perpetrator and say, there's something wrong here. This needs to stop. Now, if we're in Christ, we can do both of those things. We can say, I'm going to suffer with you, and we're going to go to the person that's creating the suffering and say, change. We keep one another safe that way. We spur one another on to love and good deeds. We don't just let things slide if we really love somebody. It's too easy to do, isn't it? Well, there's in Scripture, there's a lot of instructions for slaves. This little two-verse section in 1 Timothy is not the only section that talks about it. In Ephesians 6, 5 through 8, slaves, obey your earthly masters with respect and fear. Does that sound similar to 1 Timothy? And with sincerity of heart, if I'm showing all honor, proper respect. A lot of us can put that on, right? Oh, yes, sir. We'll do that for you, sir. When we are being so sarcastic, they can tell that in our heart, we're not there. Just as you would obey Christ, that's the standard. Obey them not only to win their favor. Some of us are real good while the boss is looking, when their eye is on you. But as slaves of Christ, doing the will of God from your heart. Serve wholeheartedly. That whole heart thing keeps coming in, doesn't it? As if you were serving the Lord, not people, because you know that the Lord will reward each one for whatever good they do, whether they're slave or free. God knows our hearts. He knows what we're doing. He knows how we're doing it. And knows our motivations. He's got all that figured out. And He's saying, if you're in Christ, act like it. It changes what your behaviors look like. More instructions for slaves in Colossians. Slaves, obey your earthly masters in everything. That's a hard word. And do it not only when their eye is on you and to curry their favor, but with sincerity of heart and reverence for the Lord. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord. Not for human masters. Now, he's saying here, obey your human master, but that's not why you're doing it. You're doing it for the Lord. Since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward, it is the Lord Christ you are serving. Anyone who does wrong will be repaid for their wrongs, And there's no favoritism. Ephesians said anybody that does good is going to get benefit. Anybody that does wrong is going to be paid for their wrong. Scripture says there's no favoritism. You know, Jesus Christ knows each one of our hearts. He knows where we are and if we're with Him or against Him. Titus, another one of the pastoral epistles. Teach slaves to be subject to their masters in everything. I keep trying to find a wiggle worm here where I can say, well, it doesn't really mean this. It's like, no, in all things, in everything, it's pretty clear. To try to please them, not to talk back to them. I'm sure that that's a temptation. Not to steal from them. It's like, I've worked hard, I deserve this. But to show that they can be fully trusted. So that in every way, they will make the teaching about God our Savior attractive. You know, our actions can make our doctrine attractive. If all we have is words, but no actions to back it up, the world looks at that and says, hypocrite. Amen. You want to be attractive? You want to make God's gospel, His good news, attractive to the world? Be doers of the word. Don't just be hearers or quoters or listeners or studiers, but you're studying to show yourself approved. You're studying so that you can be a worker that's not ashamed. If I study and get all the right answers, but all my actions say he doesn't believe what he's preaching, that's an ashamed worker. If I'm not ashamed, I should be. More instructions for slaves. 1 Peter. Slaves, in reverent fear of God, submit yourselves to your masters, not only to those who are good and considerate, but also to those who are harsh. Ouch. For it is commendable if someone bears up under the pain of unjust suffering, because they are conscious of God. You know, if we're doing everything as unto the Lord, sometimes harshness isn't even going to feel like harshness. If we're doing it as unto the Lord, we think about Proverbs 15, a soft answer turns away wrath. Maybe we can be the instrument that turns that harsh master into a follower of Jesus Christ. Maybe we can be that attractive that even somebody that doesn't like us and wants to mistreat us and misuse us looks and says, I can't find any fault in that person. There must be something special. And then when they ask, we're always supposed to have an answer ready. There were also instructions for slave masters in Scripture. Ephesians 6, 9. So after the 5 through 8, Paul says, and masters, treat your slaves in the same way. Well, what is that same way? It's as if you're serving the Lord. The slaves were exhorted to work as if they're serving the Lord. Masters, you too. You're serving the Lord. Don't threaten them, since you know that He who is both their master and yours is in heaven, and there's no favoritism with Him. It's not like because we're the master, when we get up to the judgment seat, God's going to look at us and say, yeah, well, you were in charge. I'm giving you a pass for all those bad things you did. He's our master too. Colossians 4:1, right after the Colossians 3:22-25 passage. Masters, provide your slaves with what is right and fair, because you know that you also have a master in heaven. There's really no difference. God doesn't show favoritism. There's instruction for everyone. Now, most of the time, we're real good at learning the instruction for those other people. If I'm a husband, I like those passages that tell my wife what to do. If I'm a slave, I want to read those passages that talk about the master. I'll bring that up to him in the next meeting we have. Well, there's some general instructions about submission in Scripture too. Submit yourselves, 1 Peter 2:13-17. Submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every human authority. What? You mean there's authority here on earth that we have to submit ourselves to? Whether to the emperor as the supreme authority or to governors who are sent by him to punish those who do wrong and to commend those who do right. For it is God's will that by doing good, what's doing good in this passage? It's submitting to authority. By doing good, you should silence the ignorant talk of foolish people. Live as free people, but do not use your freedom as a cover-up for evil. Live as God's slaves. Now, if I'm God's slave, I'm going to know what God's commands are. I'm going to do God's commands. I'm going to live His commands. I'm going to follow Him wholeheartedly. If I'm God's slave, because I know that I have a debt that I can't pay, and I say, Lord, You're the only one I know that can cover this debt. Can I give myself to You and be Your servant? Can I be Your doulos like You chose to be a servant? It's God's will that by doing good you should silence the ignorant talk of foolish people. We don't silence them by trying to talk over them. We don't silence them by trying to shout them down. We don't silence them in court even. We silence them by doing good. Show proper respect for everyone. Love the family of believers. Fear God. Honor the emperor. That's some wisdom there. I think that's something that most of us are not real good at, is submitting to authority. It's real easy to find reason to not submit to authority. We can find something wrong with all authority. Or we could go to Scripture, and in Ephesians it talks about whatever's good, whatever's pure, whatever's right, whatever's praiseworthy. All those things that you can look up to and find that are excellent. Those are the things we should be thinking about. We shouldn't be looking for the trouble. Judge not, lest ye also be judged with that same judgment. It's real easy for me to look around and find trouble in every one of us, even when I look in the mirror. I need to start there. Because as I judge other people, I know I'm going to be judged right back. If I'm looking to other people to say, wow, here's something God's doing in your life. What a blessing to know the same Creator. He's working in me too. Here's how I mess up, and here's how He's fixing me. We come as sinners. Paul called himself the chief of all sinners. We don't come to God out of any merit. We can't say to Him, I deserve your rewards. Because the wages of sin is death. That's what I deserve. Anytime as a school teacher, kids were talking about something's not fair. Do you really want what's fair? Well, let's go to Scripture. Let's see what you deserve. We don't want fair. We want grace. We want to be able to serve a living God that willingly laid His life down and became a servant for us. Matthew 11:28-30. Here's what Jesus says about the yoke of slavery. He says, come to Me. Come to Me, all you who are weary and burdened. Some of you memorized that in a different version, right? Shout it out.
Heavy laden.
Weak and heavy laden. What's He going to do if we come to Him? I will give you rest. Take My yoke upon you and learn from Me. You know what? We do need a yoke. We need something to guide us, to balance us. Take My yoke upon you and learn from Me. For I am gentle and humble in heart. And you will find rest for your souls. For My yoke is easy. My burden is light. Thank You, Jesus. Father, cause us to know what it means to serve You with joy. To voluntarily do the right thing. Because we know our Father in heaven is watching. Help us make you proud, Papa Daddy. Glory to you, God. Forgive us, Father, for trying so hard to throw your yoke off when all you're trying to do is help us make a straight path. Teach us, Lord, to submit appropriately to all authorities that we need to submit to. Your holy name, Jesus. Amen.